Thank you, Carter, for those good words to us. Good reminder of what's really important. Today is the last sermon that is springboarding from the movie that we watched several Sundays ago, Where the River Divides. If you have not had a chance to watch that movie, I would encourage you to go to this website here. It's also in your bulletin. And you can watch that movie for free. It's a true story, and it's just 30 minutes long. And I am confident that if you will take the time to watch that movie, He will touch your heart through that. And two, just in case someone is thinking that we're getting away from Scripture by basing sermons on a movie, I want to squelch that thought. Hopefully. It's not true. That is not true at all. We are simply taking topics from that movie that are worth giving greater attention to. And then we are developing sermons about those topics. And I think you would have to say, if you go back and listen, if you listen today, you would have to say that what we're preaching here at Reinhardt is based on this book right here. Whether it's me up here preaching or Elijah, we believe this book is the Word of God, the eternal Word of God. We believe that it is infallible, we believe that it is authoritative, and we believe that this book right here has the power to change your life. We believe that the Savior of this book has the power to change you, to save you, to put you in a direction towards heaven. And that's why we preach from this book every Sunday. Let me get to the topic that we have for today. And I will be right up front with you. This topic of forgiveness is a very challenging message for each of us. Most of us live our lives having had someone offend us. We have been hurt along the way. We have been abused or mistreated in some way. And it's very normal for us to want to hold on to that offense. And if we hold on to that offense, then it begins to fester. And the root of bitterness grows, and it grows some more. And over time, if we don't let go of that grudge, it will have us underneath its thumb. And that is a terrible, terrible thing to have happen to us. If you think back to the movie, if you've seen it, Dennis had reason to be upset with his father. If anybody had a reason to hold a grudge, Dennis had that reason. His father had tried to kill him because of his faith in Jesus. And yet it was that same faith in Jesus that was calling Dennis to let go of that grudge. And I think he let go of it a long time before his father came to him. But 26 years later, a knock on Dennis's door as he's living in the big city of Nairobi. And his wife first answers the door, and then she calls for him to come. Dennis comes. It's for you. It was Dennis's father. And if you remember, Dennis said, "What are you doing here? I want to talk." And he gets around pretty quick. He doesn't waste a whole lot of time. He gets around pretty quick to ask for forgiveness from his son. And as I said, I think Dennis is already forgiven him. He's been sending him money month after month after month to live on. But now he's face to face with his father. And I don't know that they had talked since that time. I don't know that they had talked through this situation that lay between them. And as the father asks him to forgive him, you remember Dennis's response. He gets up out of his chair and he's sobbing. He's crying. He gets on his knees before his father and he puts his head in his father's lap and he offers forgiveness to him. And Dennis's forgiveness to his father helped his father to find forgiveness with God. And what an amazing ending to that movie as Dennis baptized his father into Jesus just a few days before his father died. My dear brothers and sisters, we must forgive those who have offended us. We must let go of the grudges that we've been holding on to. Let me give to you several reasons why we must forgive. And the first reason is simply this: we have been commanded by God to forgive. And really, this should be reason enough to let go of those offenses against us. This is not to say that we haven't been hurt or that we haven't been done wrong, we haven't been abused. No, I'm sure we have. But still, God commands us to forgive. He knows that it's in our best interest to forgive. Hear what he has to say in his word. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." That's the verse that started out that music video, if you recall. Luke 17, verses 3 and 4 says, "Be on your guard." And this is Jesus talking. He says, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." In other words, get into the habit of forgiving. Be more into the habit of forgiving than what you are in the habit of holding a grudge. And you think about this, it almost seems extreme here, doesn't it? Jesus says if somebody offends you seven times a day, and then they ask you to forgive them, in our minds we might wonder, how sorry are they really? But that isn't even in the conversation here that Jesus is having. He's saying if someone comes to you and they offend you seven times in a day and they ask you to forgive them, then it's your responsibility, it is your obligation to forgive them. It does seem extreme. But I think what Jesus is saying is it's better to be extreme in forgiveness than to be extreme in holding a grudge. Here's another passage to consider. And again, Jesus is in this conversation. It says from Matthew 18, 21 and 22, "Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him up to seven times?'" Peter actually thought this was gracious. This is really good if I can forgive him seven times. And Jesus says, no, I'd say that you forgive him up to seven times 70 times seven. In other words, keep on forgiving. And I certainly don't think Jesus was telling us to keep count. And on the 491st time that we then don't have to forgive, we can finally let them have it. No, keep on forgiving. And when you think you can't do it again, do it one more time. I've heard it said a good marriage is the union of two forgivers. I think that is so true. If we're keeping track, we're going to reach a point where we are done with forgiveness. And then we've got a real problem. The godly thing to do is to keep on forgiving, because that's how he is towards us. Mark 11:25 says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." And these are just a few of the verses in Scripture that command us to offer forgiveness to those who offend us. We need to have the mindset that if God commands it, then it is our responsibility to obey Him. Whatever the topic is, if it's forgiveness, if it's helping the poor, if it's loving your neighbor, if it's tithing, if it's anything having to do with salvation and what we are commanded to do in regards to that, whatever the topic, our mindset needs to be, if He commands it, then I need to do it. Why? Because He's the Lord of all. He's the creator of the universe. He's the potter and I am the clay. I need to do what He tells me to do. I need to be moldable. I need to be pliable into what He tells me to do. Even if it's hard, even if it's not to my liking, even if it doesn't make sense to me. If God says do it, that's what I'm supposed to do. Who am I to argue with God? He's the one calling the shots. And He is the one that I will stand before on the day of judgment. And so the first reason, and really, I could just sit down after reason number one, because it's enough. It's enough reason to forgive. The fact that God says, do it. But there are more reasons. A second reason is simply this: Jesus has forgiven us. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus has forgiven us. Do we deserve forgiveness? No. But He has chosen to forgive us due to His grace. That verse I read earlier from Ephesians 4, it says, "Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you." When we pray to God and ask Him to forgive us, we expect Him to do that simply because He's promised it throughout Scripture that if we ask for forgiveness, forgiveness will be granted. Shouldn't we forgive others the way He forgives us? He thinks so for sure. Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Colossians 3:13 says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also should you." Jesus is so forgiving towards us, and we need to pass that forgiveness on to others. I would like for you, for a moment, to think with me about the thief on the cross next to Jesus. There were actually two thieves next to Jesus, and Jesus was in the middle. And you remember, at first, they were cursing Jesus, and they were mocking Him. But as time went along, one of those thieves changed his tune. I suppose he noticed the manner in which Jesus conducted himself on the cross. He wasn't cursing anybody. In fact, Jesus was offering forgiveness to those who were cursing Him. He was offering forgiveness to the soldiers who had put Him there. And He was offering forgiveness to the ones who were spitting on Him and mocking Him. And the one thief sees this all happening and he hears it. And he hears Jesus saying, "Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And the one thief changes his tune. You remember the conversation that took place between him and Jesus on the cross? Jesus, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus responds back to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. And so think about this. Here's a fellow who maybe, I don't know, I'm just thinking, maybe he's never been to a synagogue in his whole life. Maybe he's never prayed. Maybe he's never heard a sermon or had any kind of interest in the Word of God. I'm wondering if it's possible. Maybe he never has even offered one sacrifice to the Father, a sacrificial lamb. Can you imagine with me the conversation that took place when he knocks on heaven's door? I can just picture an angel cracking the door and saying, yeah, what can I do for you? Well, the man answered, I was hoping you'd let me come in. On what basis, the angel might ask, have you paid your tithes? No. I don't even know what a tithe is, he says. Oh? Okay, the angel's starting to wonder about this fella. Have you kept the Ten Commandments? No? You talking about those rules of that Moses guy? I think I broke every one of them. Oh my, the angel might say, I think you're knocking on the wrong door. On what basis did you think you might be let in here? The guy's standing there, he's thinking, he doesn't really know what to say. Finally, it comes to his mind what he should say. Well, the man on the middle cross said I could come in. And all of a sudden, the door opens wide, and the angel says, why in the world didn't you say that in the first place? If the man on the middle cross said you could come in, then welcome. Welcome in, my brother. That is the good news of the gospel, that the man on the middle cross has invited us in. Amen? He has lavished his grace upon us in spite of our sin. He has welcomed us into heaven if we will put our faith in him. So because of his grace to us, we need to offer grace to each other. Here's the third point. Our forgiveness by God is based upon our forgiveness to others. Let that sink in for a moment. Our forgiveness by God is based upon our forgiveness to others. That's pretty sobering. I've already read to you Matthew 6:14. Let me read that verse again to you and add to it verse 15. And if you recall, this is a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It follows the Lord's Prayer. It's immediately a part after the Lord's Prayer. A lot of people will just put all of that together. For if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. Luke 6:37 says, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. The Bible's very consistent in its message to us. If we want to be forgiven by God, We have to forgive others, those who have offended us. Yes, Kevin, but you just don't understand what's been done to me. Maybe I don't. But I'll tell you somebody who does, and that's God. God knows everything that has been done to you. And God is insistent still upon our forgiveness to those who have offended us. And He gives us the power through His Holy Spirit to do what He's asked us to do. Now, here's a question that you might appreciate the answer to. Does this mean that we have to like them and hang out with them? No. That's not what I'm saying at all. You, by all means, you don't have to be that person's best friend. But we do need to let go of the grudge that has had a grip on our life. We need to give it to God. Give it to Jesus. And we may need to give it to Him over and over again. Forgiveness is usually, hear me say this, forgiveness is usually not a one and done situation. If I've been really, really hurt and I want to offer forgiveness to that person, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and really just have a genuine love for that person. No, I need to offer forgiveness to that person over and over and over again, giving it to Him. I need your help again today. God, I need your help. And you know what? He's able to bear the burden a whole lot better than what we're able to bear it. And here's another question. Does this mean that we have to forget what has been done to us? We may not be able to forget it, especially if it has really hurt us, if it's been a really bad thing towards us. But we still need to let go of the grudge. Only God can truly forget, but He has given us the power to forgive. I'll give you a fourth reason that we need to forgive. Others are watching. The world is watching very closely how you're going to respond after you've been hurt. And you know who's especially watching? Is your kids. Your kids are especially watching you and how you respond to your offender. They know you've been hurt. And they're saying, Mom, Dad, and whether they're this size or they're this size, adults, they're saying, Mom, Dad, I want to learn from you. Teach me. Teach me how to respond to the one who has offended you. And they're watching and they're listening and they're learning. You will teach them by your example how to forgive or how to become bitter. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Those who would be defiled first are those who are closest to us, those who live with us, particularly our kids. I say this to the glory of God, probably one of the greatest things that I have ever done for my kids was to not become bitter over what happened to me at the church in Fort Scott. By God's grace, he helped me with that battle. And in turn, that was helpful to my kids. And my kids were already grown by that time. They were out of the house. But every one of them came back to be with me on that final Sunday. And they watched. And they listened. And they're still watching. And they're still listening. And they're still learning on how to forgive and how not to hold a grudge. I've heard it said, when we forgive, that's when we are the most like Jesus. Isn't that something? When we forgive, that's when we are the most like Jesus. So, do you really want to take part in this mission that God has given to us? The mission possible. I'm challenging you in 2024 to take the good news to the world, to the gospel, to all creation. Do you really want to be a part of that? Do you want to be God's instrument in sharing your witness to the world and be effective in that? Then choose to forgive those who have offended you, because that's one of the best witnesses that you can ever give. And when they see you offering forgiveness to those who have offended you, then they're going to be listening to what you say. Let go of the grudges that you've been holding on to for so long. Let me give to you a fifth point. Forgiveness is the pathway to freedom. The music video that we watched and listened to earlier by Matthew West, the song Forgiveness, I watched it several times this week, and the tears just rolled down my face. The prisoner that it really frees is you, the song says. We think we have a right to be bitter. And so we're just going to hold a grudge, and we're going to make that person suffer. That's Satan's lie to you. Because when you have that thinking, when you hold on to that grudge, you are the one who's suffering. You are the one who's enslaved. And you are the one who needs to be set free. So, anybody here today? Anybody here today willing to be set free? And to just give up the grudge that maybe, I'm not even beginning to assume that every person here is holding a grudge, but I would bet there's a few here and there that are holding on to a grudge. And I'm talking to you today, hopefully through the Holy Spirit, that you are the one who needs to let go of the grudge. Will you do that today? Would somebody have the courage to come down here and say, today's the day I'm letting it go? And at the very least, if you're not willing to come here, will you do it where you're sitting? And as we stand and sing, let's stand together, please. Would you be willing to come? Or would you, right there where you stand, pray to God that it's time to let it go? You talk about a Super Bowl win. That's a Super Bowl win. As Carter said earlier, it doesn't, in light of eternity, it doesn't matter who wins that game today. But what matters in light of eternity is that you have a Super Bowl win in your heart of letting go of the grudges that you've been holding on to. It has to happen in the name of Jesus.